Okay, tell me, are we recording? Okay, I'd like to call the meeting to order. We have tonight's agenda. And there's been a request to switch items three and four so that we discuss the Lady B in the Willamette Park before the year-end report. Is that something that people can approve?
Sure.
Is there a motion to approve the agenda with that change?
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll start.
Okay, and we're all in agreement? Aye. Awesome.
Aye.
The summary notes were sent out. Were there any changes or additions to the summary notes from last month?
No, good to me.
Okay, would you like to?
Yeah, I'd like to move that we accept.
Okay, do we have a second?
Sure, I'll do that.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
I thank you. Okay. Do we have any community members in the queue who are waiting to share their ideas with me? No, Patty's here.
Oh, sorry, Patty's coming in.
Hi, Patty. Patty. We just approved the agenda with a minor change and the summary notes, Patty. Nobody's waiting for community comments? All right, then, let's go ahead and move into our new number three on the agenda, the Lady B Willamette Park proposal. I believe that was sent out. Did everyone have a chance to take a look at that?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Before our guest shares his suggestions, Ken, is there any framing that you want to do on this?
Well, if you recall, we had previously kind of mentioned this, I think it was April. I guess it was thought at that time we had met and talked about Lady B tugboat and the possibility of locating her or him. So whether it was in the park was an option. And since then, as you've been sent and we've seen, the group has sent a formal initial draft proposal to the city to look at having that place down Willamette Park. But I'll let Jim, who represents the group that made the proposal, give a brief conceptual review, I guess, of the proposal. I don't think, probably don't need to read it word for word, but fill us in, Jim.
I'm assuming that everyone did get a chance to read through the proposal. Was that a correct assumption? Okay, great. So you have a group that's somewhat.
Good. Well, the proposal, well, I'm Jim Edwards. I'm a member of the board of the Willamette Falls Heritage Foundation. And I was appointed as the chairman of the committee to explore the possibility of accepting the Lady B as a gift. The proposal pretty well covers what she is, a 70 plus year old tugboat that has been used for 70 years to up until the locks were closed, was used to move logs primarily to the mills at Willamette Falls. Wilsonville Concrete Company owns the Lady B, and the Bernards are the owners of the Wilsonville Concrete and have been for probably a century or so. And so they are ready to stop operating the Lady B. In fact, she's sitting on the bank of the Willamette River on their property. And they're trying to decide what to do with her, either scrap her or give her to someone who might appreciate her. And the Willamette Falls Heritage Foundation, in part, among other interests, is interested in preserving things that were associated with the falls or the mills or the locks. And so ultimately, it would be ideal for the Lady B to be somewhere near the locks so that the public could appreciate her But that's probably sometime in the future before the locks are ready for public access. Planet or Wilsonville Concrete has asked us to try to take possession of the Lady B relatively soon. In fact, we started meeting with them, well, they made the offer probably in January or February this year. And so we've been exploring within our own opinion options for being able to take, to receive her, to take her possession of her from the Wilsonville Concrete. And so that we've looked at a number of potential alternative locations, and we thought that Willamette Park was at least a temporary home for her for maybe 10 years or some period of time, and or permanently. But if ideally, like I said earlier, she would eventually be somewhere in the vicinity of the locks. So you've read the proposal, and so I don't think I need to go through that line by line. You know what we suggested and what background information we developed by talking to some other cities, specifically City of Coos Bay, who also has tugboats on display.
Have you spoken with Oregon City on the other side of the river?
Well, we haven't, in part because the Grand Ronde tribe owns the property, and my understanding is that they intend to have some sort of a traditional use for that property. So we have not approached them. And we really would like to retain Lady B so that on the Westland side, because it really served the paper mill at Willamette Falls Paper Mill more than any other facility. And it carried things through the locks, which on the Westland side.
Okay. And it sounds like the concrete company would like to move rapidly on this.
Well, they would, although I believe they would be patient if we look like, and we being the Willamette Falls Heritage Foundation and or whoever we're cooperating with, if we're making some progress, I think they'll be willing to give us some time.
And I was a little unclear on the funding for all of the prep, move, and then the ongoing maintenance.
Yeah, so, I mean, just a quick summary. I mean, I think, you know, based on the proposed agreement, you know, the Willamette Falls organization would be responsible for, you know, the moving, the installation, those things that need to be installed, concrete pads, signage. You know, they've proposed kind of having behind the Lady B logs and or replica logs that look like they're being towed. And that's what's really laid out in the agreement as far as I think, you know, the funding portion, unless I'm incorrect. So just to kind of talk a little bit about when this came in, and I mentioned, you know, after I mentioned it to you, we got the proposal and kind of looked at, okay, what does this mean for a process and for Parks and Rec? And we initially, when I kind of responded to Jim and the group, you know, we had a couple of steps that are going to have to happen, right? And the first one was kind of city management staff internal review. What does this look like? What does it mean? We kind of went to the planning staff and said, okay, what do we need to do to add this to the park? This would be through the planning process, a class one design review would about 100% be required, because something that kicks it into that, this is in the 100-year floodplain. So we're adding a new amenity to the park. But we would go through the pre-application process with our, you know, as a project with our city planning and engineering, like everything else. You know, we keep the concrete under, you know, 1,000 square feet and things, we wouldn't get into too many engineering requirements for non-permeable surface and some of those things, but it's probably about a $15,000 application to get through that process. And then we kind of talked about, well, let's check with the neighborhood association, historic review board, and then the Parks and Rec Advisory Board, you know, and then, you know, city council approves funds to make some of these things happen. As we internally talked about this, so we kind of said, well, gosh, doesn't make sense to talk to the Parks and Rec Board first, get your input and see what the thoughts are, kind of on a formal process, and you can, you know, do those things. So when you look at it from a park maintenance standpoint, anytime we add something to a park, potentially it adds costs, but ongoing costs, right, to maintain that piece of equipment. In this case, you know, we're adding something that potentially we want to keep looking nice, right? So there's maintenance of the boat itself, you know, possible painting, things. It's going to be on a concrete pad, so, you know, now you want to keep it attractive, so it's kind of extra edging. You know, we mowed it already, but it's trying to keep it edged, attractive, you know, so it, you know, looks that way. Pressure washing concrete, possibly pressure washing the boat, is it, you know, it's mossy and whatever, you know, everything else we pressure wash. Over time, you know, there might be, depending on what material the logs are, if they're real, they decay, replacement. So there's some considerations of placing it in the park. So that's kind of, and we haven't factored all those things in, but that's kind of what we look at when we add something like this. What is it, what's the, so delve into exact costs or anything of that nature of what it looks like, but you know, it's something else new in the park to be taken care of. So I'll kind of leave it at that. I don't, you know, the board would, it would be great if the board were kind of have a quick discussion on what your thoughts are about this type of a project in that park, you know, so that we can kind of take that information as the city looks at, you know, is it a good idea? Is it the best idea for this park? Is it, do we want it? Is it valuable? You know, I'm just, all those questions that are out there kind of that someone might ask.
Well, I'll just, in one of the things that we were trying to do this year is not have the same discussion in multiple meetings. So as I reflect on our notes from June 9th, when this came to the board prior, I know that we discussed it at length. And I'm just reading my notes because I'm a ridiculously avid note taker. There were some concerns at that time about something that this size in Willamette Park. As I'm reading it, waterfront, the whole area of waterfront space is so burdened as it is and is so heavily used. There was a significant concern about taking up the space for a tugboat, especially when in both the master plan and in the GO bond, we're supposed to be developing waterfront for play. So that was one of the major concerns voiced. And then the other concern was being in the floodplain, being that close to the water, if there might be oil or fuel leakage. Again, I'm just going right down through my notes. I don't remember exactly who said what, but I just wanted to recall that we had a pretty robust discussion about this earlier. So with that, I'm just reminding us where we were back in June. What are people's thoughts tonight now that we have a much more thorough proposal? Awesome photos, it's absolutely beautiful boat, and the proposal in front of us. So I'm just going to open it up to the board and ask people what their thoughts are tonight.
Quick question for Jim. Have you thoughts or openness to the placement? I mean, you're talking about being too close to the water and stuff like that. I mean, do you, is there any, is that an open for discussion, or is that something where you kind of as a group said, this is perfect, it would fit right here.
Well, we do think it would be perfect in this location. Now, in terms of speaking to, well, I think we should make a list of the issues and see if we can find a way to solve them. For example, in terms of fuel or oil leakage, we could either take the engine out or we can flush it out and clean it so that there's no contaminants, no fuel. And in terms of the, it is a boat and it will float. But it might be better if it didn't float, it didn't go anywhere, so it could be fastened down and, you know, have holes in the bottom that lets the water come in and that lets the water go out. So I think that there are solutions to concerns and legitimate concerns. I don't want to give the impression that we don't care about the concerns. And in terms of, it is a steel hull boat, so it's not wood. It's not going to decay even if it got wet. And it's all steel frame in the house. So it would be easy to pressure wash and it has a cabin, a small one that essentially the operator stood in. So it would be easy to close that up and weld the door shut so that people can't get in it. And I know that Ken, when we first started talking about that or this idea, he expressed some concern about, was it safe for children to climb on and how far off the ground is it? And it's really a shallow draft boat. And compared to the examples in Coos Bay, those are deep boats and they're up on our rack, so to speak. So, and they haven't had problems with them either, but this particular boat is, it might be 2 feet off the ground in terms of the deck. And so there's really not a fall issue. So I think that that a list of concerns could be developed and we can address those in terms of how we could mitigate those.
One of the things I forgot to mention, I apologize. So when we place something there, we also have to look at accessibility with Disabilities Act ADA. So we will probably incur, someone will incur expenses of getting those with mobility issues down to the boat. Apologize, I had that on my list. I didn't mention it. Just off of the sidewalk, you know, to get people down there. I mean, it's that's all.
Well, I'd like to hear from the board members if you have thoughts on this. Chris, I'm sorry, Chris. Turn his mic off, so.
Yeah, John, you know, I'm all in favor of celebrating our history and having something like this, but I wonder how well this fits in with the primary purposes of Willamette Park, like we've discussed. And while it's great, the idea of having it right next to the water, maybe there's another location that would be that would fit the bill, as in, you know, expose people to this piece of history, but not potentially compete for space right down along the waterfront.
That's a fair comment. Others, Patty, do you have some thoughts? It looks like you're thinking on this.
I don't have any specific thoughts, but I the only concern I have is that Willamette Park is heavily used, and I would just be concerned with heavy usage or need for parking or crowding of areas, that type of thing in Willamette Park.
John?
I just don't see what we get as a park having this boat in our park. I don't think, you know, it's not like a boat you have sitting in the water that people can take rides on, you know. Yeah, it's something the kids are going to climb on. That's not a good thing. Well, the kids might have fun, but I don't care how high it is, they can fall off, create all sorts of problems. I just don't think it's something that fits in.
Well, I appreciate the historic background of it as well. And I like that piece, and I like having some kind of a, I walk that trail frequently down by the river, and they have those pieces of the mill that are there, very interesting, and they're very engaging. It's an attractive nuisance. I get that. There are some, going to be some risks involved with it, but I just think it is such a big part of who we are as a community of the timber industry and the blocks. I'd like to see it installed there. And I'm looking at that space. It's between the parking lot and Bulb Road, right? Is that correct? So it's not necessarily on the waterfront. It's closer to the fields,
correct.
Actually. So I don't see that it's blocking a lot of the usage of the water. It is still something another place. There's definitely pockets of interest and things happening around the park, and it would move the flow of traffic around that way too. So.
Yeah, the concern from a park user standpoint, kind of like Patty said, was that on the weekends, if you've been there, that park is with softball, boat ramp, little picnics, things that happen there. Every piece of grass has a little tent, canopy, blankets, eating lunch. I mean, even though it's not the riverfront, it's a piece of lawn that kind of gets used or parked on, right or wrong.
That would prevent that.
I mean, because, you know, we have had, as you know, people have mentioned dog parks at Willamette Park, and you know, all the things people want at Willamette Park, and it just doesn't have the infrastructure to even having things. Not that this is like a dog park or mm-hmm. some of those other things people have kind of came to you and you've heard, but you know, it's just very busy.
Mm-hmm. I have to hear from Todd. What are your thoughts?
I tend to go with Julie in that, you know, this is a neat opportunity to, and I hate to see something like that go to scrap, right? Mm-hmm. When it's as the historic context, we already have some of that interpretive stuff. I mean, part of visiting a park, at least for me anyway, is that interpretive piece, whether that's environmental or historic or something like that. I think, you know, the primary purpose of the park though is recreation. And so we got to find that, okay, where can we put this where it's not going to, there's always going to be some interference, right? Just because of the size. But if we can find a place to locate it where it provides that historic back interpretive value, but doesn't take away the primary purpose of what that recreation area is, then I support that.
So I'll just add my 2 cents too. Yeah. I think that I'd love to see it. I think about what they are doing down at Maddox Woods, and I don't know if it would fit there, but I think thematically it would fit there better than at Willamette Park. I personally have some really strong concerns about using Willamette Park as the site. Not that I don't think the tugboat wouldn't be a wonderful historical piece. And like I said, I don't know if there's space, but I think thematically it does fit with Maddox Woods. So the siting at Willamette Park, I have concerns. I know that area very well. That's the only area that's, quote, you know, it has docks. And, you know, I'm down there a lot. That's the park I go to all the time. And during the summertime, what I see is that area is filled with people, especially if we have multiple people doing boats and they can't all fit on the boat. There's no other place to kind of hang out for your turn on the boat. And it's filled with kids through the summer. It's I would really struggle to try to take that very unique space and put a 40-foot boat on it. That being said, even if we look at alternative solutions like Maddox Woods or whatever, I think that it's naive to think that this is not going to be a cost to the city. It's going to be a cost with the permitting, and it's going to be a cost for maintenance. Part of me is, I feel a fiduciary responsibility that until we fulfill some of the commitments in our go bond. We shouldn't be putting money aside for other investments until that money is gone. So I hate to be the budgetary person to bring it up, but I do think that that's something that we should consider. That's the one part of the go bond that just hasn't been getting a lot of rapid action for lots of reasons, some of them outside of our control, but I hesitate using that space at Willamette Park and committing on funds to making that happen. So do I think it's wonderful? Yes. Would I love to see it somewhere in West Lynn? Absolutely. Probably not at Willamette Park. And I think that we'd have to take a look at the costs involved and make sure that that is not going to come at the expense of some of the other projects that we have that are in our master plan, that are part of the strategic plan of the West Lynn. So it sounds like we have the board, lots of considerations kind of split on if it should be at this location or not. So we've had a discussion. Ken, do you need a motion from us and a vote?
Can I interject anything? Obviously, I'm a supporter of the idea, so I'm going to argue for it. But the first of all, you could put all the burden on financial on the as a condition, as though there would be no cost to the city, if that's what you want to do. That would be a condition of approval. I've spent a lot of time down there at the park too. We used to have a vote. My sons grew up with the West Lynn High School, and now they moved away. So we sold the boat. But in the summer, I agree with you. It is a fact. We'd have a hard time finding a parking place for a car or a trailer. But the rest of the year is relatively uninhabited. And maybe the boat would cause some people to come down there and use that parking area on the off season as is the place to see a boat. I haven't seen anybody using that grassy area. I agree with you that there's a lot of people along the grassy area along the river. Seen anybody using that area? Now, I'm not saying that it never happened, because I'm sure it does. But it does seem like an area that that wouldn't, in my opinion, interfere with the rest of the function of the park. And in the summer, it's going to be packed, no matter whether there's a boat there or not. In terms of handicap access, it's on the same plane with the restrooms. And so it would be pretty easy to have a sidewalk that came from the restroom straight over to the boat on the same level, or
yeah, it's just that way with
nearly the same grade. So I don't know much about, in fact, I don't know anything about Maddox Woods. I've heard of it. And I think I've seen the sign when you drive it to the end of the road, but that's as far as I've gone. And if that's a better place, then we'd certainly want to consider that. And it has come up, especially by
Constance.
Yeah, she repeatedly suggested that because it's a boat facility.
And
they made boats there.
Yeah, I don't think it's a better spot in my opinion. They want to put a little tracks go down to the water where the boats used to be built. They want to put a little kind of a pole barn there where Virgil used to build boats. And if you put this boat there, it takes up the whole space. So I'm not sure.
I was just thinking.
I agree. I mean, with their boat barn, there'd be no room for it.
No. Yeah. And she's talked about having Virgil's boat.
Right, which is a completely different
boat. Totally different, yeah.
Virgil didn't build tugboat.
Right, yeah.
Well, and one of the concepts that the Willamette Falls Heritage Foundation has predicated their interest in the boat is to make it available to the public. So we want to put it in a place that's accessible and pretty well known.
Well.
To answer your question, I guess, if you want to, the board would like to make a recommendation on this topic that so we do that. If you don't, that's okay. I mean, we've heard, you know, still kind of a, it's still in number one, kind of,
yes.
Kind of with staff and city management and human resources, not human resources, so. Risk management and things, mm-hmm. Just kind of looking at, does it make sense? You know, I mean, at that part. You know, I know that the second question is going to be, I guess, if this is a no, the second question is going to be, well, can the city store it for us? Because that was the other conversation we had, right? Where can we store it? Can we find a place for it? At least I think that's what your group would ask. Maybe.
I mean, the follow-on question.
Yeah, it is. And you know, I don't know that we have an answer for that either, because I think it would be a great asset to have talked initially about. My thought was, oh, ODOT's putting in this big roundabout, you know, what if it went right in the middle, you know? And,
well, you know, except for you can't go look at it.
Yeah, or down there. Yeah, I think we all agreed that was the ideal location, somewhere down there. Mm-hmm. That's probably out of the time frame that Wilsonville Concrete and the Burton family probably wants to get rid of it without any type of a timeline at all.
I can't,
right? I mean, you know.
It's like artwork where everyone would see it all the time.
You know, I've
been an advocate of that concept, but
so
some of the board members have said, well, nobody can touch it. Well, that's true. They can see it, you can drive by. And some art is really just to
sculpture, you like to touch, yeah. Yeah.
But this particular facility, this item, would be kind of nice to be able to walk up and touch it and, you know, or stand by it.
And one of the things that we haven't looked into is, you know, as you know, every playground has a fall zone. Anything you put in a playground,
that's what I was thinking,
has a fall zone based on national standards, right? Mm-hmm. Now, what does this mean? If you can actually climb up on top of this,
meaning the fall zone.
Normally, if you have to have a fall zone, you have to have a cushion fall zone. So that concrete is going to have to be way down, and you're going to need 12 to 16 inches of chips, right? Well, they're actually fake chips now; they're engineered chips. But you know, I mean, we haven't went that far. I know they don't have them in Coos Bay, but Coos Bay is a little different. They're roped off. I think it's a little more controlled environment than a park, but. That's just things to talk about. Mm-hmm. And I guess we'll take your whole meeting.
Yeah, I think that what we've heard the concerns about Willamette Park.
Sure.
And we've heard all of us really respecting and appreciating and celebrating the historical value of this. I mean, if there was a way that it could be made to work, it sounds like there's a lot of thoughts and support for that. But I'm also, I heard, and then I shared my own concerns around Willamette Park as the actual site. So, you know, I know this is in its infancy. I summarized our June 9th notes, and then I summarized our notes tonight. So when it comes up again, we can refer.
Well, they very well come back once the pre-op's done and some of the other things. I mean, you know, see what that decision looks like. I mean, the city itself doesn't want to on its own and go through other stakeholders and take a look at that process. So
okay.
It's kind of a unique one.
Get it this
as they all seem to be as they all seem to be in front of us kind of right with this. But I appreciate everybody's comments and input.
Yeah, I'd love to see it in West Glen. Yeah. Just not necessarily. I want you to know that we do love the Lady B.
Well, thank you for your consideration. I say that.
Okay. Thanks, Ken, for the additional information. Anything else on this? We okay?
I don't think so.
Wow, that's the first time we haven't been in 100% consensus, and it still feels okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I like it. Somebody came in, and I was going to ask, but it looks like she took off again, so. Oh.
I think Shannon, I think she was just eavesdropping. She's on Economic Development Committee.
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah. Todd, go by, yeah. See what the other, half does. Tell her to start, okay. So, Jim, thank you so very much. Your insight and your hard work and your dedication to preservation, that's an important job. So, piece that was probably the biggest item on tonight's agenda is our year-end report. You received that on the email. I went ahead and filled in a lot of just the factual information, names, dates, times, et cetera. Thanks again. And so I'd like to just query the group on answering some of these questions. It helped me, I just pulled the plan that we put together for the year, and I just put that in where asked, you know, where did you meet? What did you talk about? It seemed pretty easy because we followed that pretty religiously. And so the first question is 2022 accomplishments. And I'd like to start by asking the first part of our plan in the introduction, we had said intends to be a proactive, transparent, and focused on plan accomplishment. And we said we wanted to create a collaborative environment. We want to keep our prioritized work in front of us, you know, with the strategic plan and the Go Bond. We wanted to have a transparent plan for preparation and open discussion. And I just wanted to ask the group as a starting point that started our plan for the year. Do you feel like we've lived up to that goal, that standard? And is there anything else that we could do to make it a better experience?
It's kind of in line with some comments I wrote down, you know, with the monthly plan and prioritizing. I said one of the accomplishments is that we were not single issue for, or, you know, focused, right? It wasn't all one topic for the whole year, which was great. And I was really like this year because we were exposed to McLean House, the dog park, the gardeners, you know, every month was a little bit different. And I seemed to, you know, personally take away like, okay, I learned about that. I'm gonna share that with people out in the community and things like that, right? And I think this group was very transparent and courteous to allow folks to come in and speak. We were open and honest with each other. So I thought that was very good.
And you know, we had particular jobs to do each month. We had parks to visit, we had things to do, we had new locations to check in on, familiarize ourselves with prior meetings. So I think that was a very helpful tool, so we're all on the same page.
Our job is to say at the end.
It's a please.
I'm writing it down.
Thank you.
Chris and Patty, you oftentimes are remote participants. How has that been? How's that experience been for you?
I would say it's convenient. Like for tonight, to be honest, I've got some kind of cold or flu or something like that, and it's nice to not have to miss the meeting just because I don't want to sit in the conference room and infect everybody else. So it has been convenient, and I think it's probably, it's not as good as being there. I would say the challenge is trying to pick out who's speaking, but I don't see any way to fix that. I think it just takes a little more focus to try and keep up with the conversations and so forth. But I love having the option, to be honest.
Yeah,
For me, I agree. I tend to work a little bit later. My work, my job is a little bit more demanding at the moment. And so I appreciate the option of being able to call in remotely. I do echo what Chris said in regards to not really knowing exactly who's speaking, but I don't see that as a huge issue or problem. I would say if it were better, that would be great, but otherwise, it's been very convenient.
Great. And it's very nice, Tara, to have you as our producer. I mean, usually I have to do the producer role as well. It's just like, thank you.
Yeah. All squared away.
Oh, that's really nice. Okay. Any other observations on us operating as a board before we get into maybe some more tangible accomplishments? I didn't hear anybody yell at all this year.
Instead of something in the past.
This is not any of board members.
There's been some emotion through the years.
We have really passionate citizens. Okay. Okay. So I really appreciate Todd. I noticed I see you came with notes. I love that. I love preparation. What other accomplishments would you like to acknowledge that you feel worthy of mention this year?
The other one I had on my list.
Thanks.
And I think I could put this down almost every year. I don't know how you want to capture it, but strong working relationship with volunteers and park and rec director and staff. You know, the one instance that got me to write this comment down was, I remember you came in one time, John, and you were just like, hey, can we have some more chips down there to go work on this trail? And Ken's response was, yeah, I'll have so-and-so do that 2 days from now. So I was just like, wow, you know, that's just that.
They've been doing that for 20 years.
I know. just to see that level of coordination and response between volunteers, people who are, you know, out there getting stuff done, and your willingness to step, you know, go, hey, these guys are doing great. You know, I want to do a little shout out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we tried to do that with all of our groups. Hattie's group today with baseball, actually yesterday, put in new artificial turf in their batting cage.
Sweet.
And it was a simple email, some conversations, and in about 10 minutes, it was like, yeah, let's do that. Great. So, and a lot of that falls on the volunteer groups we deal with, mm-hmm. that, you know, clear communication and understanding that we know what they're going to do and don't get either one of us in trouble with projects that happen, you know. So sometimes when we don't communicate, we've had volunteer groups that don't help us all the time, things we don't know about. So we always stress communication, but it's worked really well for all of our groups, I think.
I think the that communication and collaboration. I mean, with the Lamech Church and the just golf course and all of those other little projects that have come up. I think there's been some accomplishments with those collaborations, local groups, and that's been a great thing to see.
Yeah. So again, I think it's our volunteers reaching out to us.
Yeah.
To allow us to communicate with them is one of the big things, right? And then Tara takes the lead on a lot of those things, just. And Jen with our park maintenance to facilitate things they want to do in our parks, which is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I mean, so much. It's great.
Excellent. Is there anything you're particularly proud of this year?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
I said, as we're still talking about accomplishments, I said, is there anything you're particularly proud of this year?
One thing that came to mind for me was that we've tackled a couple issues that have the potential to be or that are contentious. So, I mean, it's great with the quick wins on, hey, can we do this? And that's worked well. But the two things that came to mind are dogs in the park and the pickleball issue. And I'll admit, I was pretty frustrated when I saw that email most recently by Dan expressing frustration and so forth. And I'm not sure how reasonable it is to expect things, a problem that's occurred for 20 years to be fixed overnight. But I think that the advisory board has done a good job, especially on this, and Jane's not here because she really kind of pushed this one, of raising it, raising some attention that the council can see that we are taking the citizen input and the citizen concerns seriously. And I think, again, the comment made, nobody was yelling at any of the meetings, but this is a pretty contentious issue. And then the same thing with the dogs, and where can the dogs be, and people cleaning up after dogs, and we need more facilities for dogs, so forth. You've got two sides on that too. And I think the board has done a good job of trying to find at least solutions or to request action that addresses citizen concerns.
Sorry, that's okay. Okay, anything else that you'd like to add? We can always come back. Okay, then. How about challenges? Do you feel like there were any challenges that we ran into? I didn't go to the McLean house because I had knee surgery. That was my personal challenge.
That was your personal challenge.
No. Sorry.
No, I think the biggest challenge we had was dealing with pickleball.
Yeah.
We're still not done with that, right?
Oh, yeah.
We still got, you know, a group of people that had another bad summer. Rains have come and things have shut down. But I mean, the bottom line is that's going to happen
again
next summer. So that particular park, make the noise. Which is not an easy solution, but something needs to happen. I mean, I can't remember if it was this year, but we did close to one pickleball court this year or last year. You know. But the bottom line is that we did that when everybody got a chance to listen to what it was like, talk to the people. Many people were really upset with the noise. It turned out to be not an area that's a little bit noisier anyway. It doesn't bother as many people. So I think I think one of the things we've learned is that pickleball, you just can't put it anywhere. Almost no matter where you put it, it'll be a problem. Because the sound just goes for a long period. It's amazing how far sound travels depending upon where you put that thing. That's why it's so hard to kill the sound. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's still an issue.
Any other challenges that you saw?
The only other thing I have to pick up on that too, and I don't know if it's really a challenge because it really hasn't manifested itself yet, but just the uncertainty about them. Mm-hmm. Just that uncertainty is kind of like, okay, what are we going to do?
So, and once it gets in the courts,
yeah, I know. Yeah. It's
like, okay, you can be another 10 years older and we're still asking the same question.
We may be. So, again, it's not a challenge because we haven't had to engage in it, but it's still kind of one of those little things.
Yeah,
yes.
And it's just a wait and see.
Yeah. I'll just identify it as a risk.
That's a risk. There you go. That works.
Yeah. The uncertainty of offline is a risk.
Perfect. hands of the judge.
Where pickleball is clearly its issue.
Yes.
They're doing our project management.
Yeah. Well, the McLean House, I think, as well, and you know, that's overtaking the McLean House and the running the McLean House. I think that's a challenge as well. I don't think they're resolving that, but that is something. The city itself and parks.
And I'll update, and it is.
Okay.
Is some things are resolved.
Okay.
Other things still need to be, you know, developed.
Does that kind of fit in with the next one, the council goal setting? Maybe I was kind of thinking that because of that interplay with council.
So let's go ahead and go into the goal setting. The questions to ask, what issues do you think the council should be thinking about as they go into their annual goal setting? Do you have recommendations about how the issues could be resolved? Council will take this advice into consideration as they prepare for goal setting.
And as you know, we have a very unique situation with our city council this year. I mean, you know, our mayor has resigned. Our election is not until March for city council. May will be a special election for the mayor's position. So when we look at council goals, which are normally set end of January, early February, not that they change 100%, but they have a new update with the new council. Those things are a little bit out of whack this year. But, you know, it's just going to happen differently. So that's not to say that they shouldn't receive your input. It might want to get to them later, I guess, in theory.
So, issues and suggestions. I know that one of the things that we have said all year is don't whittle down the gold bond funds when we still have the plan for Willamette Park. Is that something that we want to put in here?
Yeah.
Help me with the numbers. It's like one more name. 18.
40.
18, oh, 16 is
one. BD 1818 is the water park trail.
1818. Right. And we talked issue. I think the pickleball is okay.
Absolutely.
All and the McLean House, right? Are there any other issues or goals that we want to have them really focused on as they go into their goal setting? So Patty, anything that you'd add there?
No, I think that those are great.
Okay.
I'm not sure what else, but I, yeah, pickleball is a super hot button issue.
Okay. I hate to even say it, but this is just from me as a citizen. I would love to keep on the radar somewhere the idea of an indoor rec center. As something to pursue. I don't care if it has a pool or not. I still believe we need a place for our families to be able to go that serves all of our populations. Anyway, but that's just
throwing a gym in there for sure.
Yes.
Yes, that is for sure. And I think also an additional off-leash dog area that doesn't necessarily be a dog park, but lots of people clamoring. I hear that most often because I have a dog, but I walk frequently, and that's kind of a thing.
That read the the big one down on, like Oswego, they were going to do something with that.
I'm aware of it. Azalea?
Azalea, yeah.
I haven't heard anything. Might do something with the mud.
That would be nice.
I mean, what's like, there you go, there's it.
Oh.
I had not heard that. A lot of things happening.
That Lusher Farm is a huge area.
Yeah.
Part of their master plan for Lake Oswego, has all sorts of things set up for that, none of which.
Yeah, yeah.
All sorts of trails and other kinds of things. Stuff that's in the plan.
So the next question is additional feedback to share with city council. And this is information or feedback. With our mayor who has, I mean, we are in this weird place where people are transitioning out and we don't have replacements. I do think we should appoint a new council liaison. As Jewel says.
Sure, yeah, I mean, I.
They'll do that.
Well.
What happened to?
I haven't heard they're gonna do that. Now, next week, they are supposed to they're interviewing two nights ago and tonight for citizen advisory groups appointments, which traditionally, you know, have happened kind of in the end of January or February, but they recognize since they're gonna be in a unique position, they're trying to appoint those citizen advisory groups. So possibly they will, I haven't heard, but maybe they will say, oh yes, our current mayor was liaison for these committees, someone else should pick that up. But I think it's something to put in there, absolutely, that we want one.
Yeah.
Or you want one.
I was pleased with their feedback on our plan. We've got nothing but supportive comments and that was nice. That was nice. Any other feedback? From your point of view? Okay, and that's it for our form. I know in January, we start putting together our plan for the year. And I've been taking notes on what that might look like, since we like the plan kind of format. Just some of the things that we want in 2023. We knew that we had pickleball in January and fitness court promotion in April.
Let's talk before January, because we have, this is in the second year of a biennium budget, right? So this budget runs through June 30th of 23, but we are just starting to work on our next biennium budget that will start July 1 of 2023. So let's get that. Might even do that in January, have some conversations about that. Capital improvements program. Get those done, because if you put them in May, while even our council is gonna adopt this at the last minute, it's actually staff has to get it all put together, you know, along so that the budget committee can meet things, which starts like in February, March, April, kind of moving that forward so we can have those conversations early.
Absolutely, Ken. I think that's a great suggestion. And we can kind of start sketching out what that might look like.
Yeah, and I'll try and, as we develop some things, performance managers, we're working on different things, we can start to push those out to you via email even, and you can take a look and build that thing piece by piece, per se.
Okay. Awesome. Then I'm just going to proof this. I will review, because you can't see it. Accomplishments. Our goals were to create a collaborative environment, keep prioritized work, and follow a transparent plan. The board identified the following activities that reflect our achievements of these goals. Our monthly plan kept us on track. Pre-meeting work to familiarize ourselves with the topic. Convenient to have the option for remote participation. We are not a single issue focused group. We covered many areas, including the clean house, dog resources, disc golf, etc. And our meetings were transparent and courteous. Additional accomplishments noted are strong relationships with volunteers and park staff, good communications and collaboration between stakeholders, including local sports, volunteers, and board members. We're proud of tackling issues that are potentially contentious. With respect and effectiveness, we take citizen concerns seriously and provide solutions or request action that address citizen concerns. I think I got
solution oriented.
Yes, I think I got Chris's comments almost verbatim. Our challenges, we see ongoing efforts, we see the need for ongoing efforts to address the issue of pickleball in our parks and the impact of noise on residents. The uncertainty about Blander is a risk, and McLean House transition will be a challenge. City, I have a council transition, but I don't. And then the issues for their goal setting. Sustain and implement the trail and swim area plan, we go bond 1818. Pickleball resources, McLean House transition, and indoor recreation center. And then feedback, sorry, I just, anytime I'm recording other people's words, I'd like to make sure that I get their words. And then we want to make sure we have a new city council liaison. Is there anything I missed that, or I misrepresented in any way?
Nope, sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Thank you.
I'll prove this and get it to you.
Sounds really good.
Are there any other points of items of interest from the board tonight that you wanted to bring to staff's attention?
I did have a meeting with a friend of mine yesterday, and she does a lot of the she's a fitness coordinator too, and she does things at the sport court we were talking about. Is there any future thoughts of putting a cover over that for use of it more year round?
That has not been a conversation. Not that it couldn't be.
Okay.
It hasn't been a conversation.
She asked me about that, and I said, I haven't heard. I said, I know it just, she's because it people come from as far as Eastmoreland in the summers to participate as she helps work people through it. It's a fantastic facility, but it's short-lived. So if maybe in the future, if that's something that could be considered some kind of a cover that could go over that, that would be increase the use of it and the appeal of it for sure. That was the only thing that I had recently heard from. Appreciate that. Yeah.
I like the crazy lights down Willamette Falls Drive.
Yes.
Those are a challenge. I'm sure our public works are all in favor of putting those in 4 years later, but they do look nice.
They do.
You know what?
They're fun.
Yeah.
Okay. The music?
Yeah.
I have not listened to the music.
Oh, you can turn your radio in.
Only 6 to 8 p.m. Yeah. Okay. That's what the sign says. Yeah. It's not one of my
presets.
Can I try this one? Hey, it's not where I always forget. I actually made it a preset, so the next time I go through. All right. Anybody else? Anything that you're bringing? Okay, then let's do a quick update of recreation and adult community summit. And I wanted to start with saying what a nice bazaar that was.
Well, good.
Thank you. Very nice.
Thanks. It's lovely.
Very well done.
Yeah. Yeah, we did another one the 2 days. So, and it was still successful. I mean, Sundays aren't as busy normally, and same with afternoons. So, but they have been keeping that. The vendors did great. They were really happy. Lions sold out of almost all their burgers. They were pretty excited. And then last Friday, we had our community tree lighting. We had approximately about 500 people throughout the night. So, this is closing around the bar, light the tree. We had to visit with Sam upstairs. Lots of fun characters. So, it was great. Yeah. So well, there's 2 more weekends of Armin and Hoopers. So our winter spring brochure was mailed out today, and the live link just went today.
on the website. So yeah, and registration starts Monday. This Saturday is our sweater dash.
Yep.
Got a lot of balls to ride.
Yeah.
Following the holiday parade.
Great.
Yeah. Rain or shine.
Rain or shine. Yep.
Yeah, just gearing up and then polar plunges New Year's Day at Willamette Park.
We do expect to see all of it.
Weather permitting.
Yes. For the therapeutic polar plunge.
Yeah. We have fire pits. We're going to have.
Warming areas. Sorry. Otherwise, I would.
Of course. Yeah.
Just to see how blocked your coronary.
There are some therapeutic values.
There are very therapeutic.
Something. Just say yes, John.
Well, as a runner, it's a competitive runner. Full therapy, obviously. After a really hard workout, you see tubs of ice.
They still
will get in and out.
They still do, I know.
No, no, they do.
Yeah. For serious athletes.
Serious athletes.
The strollers, but.
Perfect. Thank you, John.
Down there on New Year's Day.
Generally, we're not doing that kind of workout in January 1st. I don't know. I'm going to have some kids.
You should.
They could run down, John.
They jump in the river on the first, no, 10 kids will do that just.
Just for fun.
Yeah.
Talking to the 10.
That's about it.
Okay.
So quickly, project update. It's kind of been a very busy month for not so much big projects, but just kind of coordinating, putting our world away for the winter. Leaf pickup, all kinds of things are happening. Street trees are a big thing. We've completed kind of the normal street tree replacement program with the new developments. Neighbors that lost them and paid for them. We put in a little over 100 of those so far. The free street tree program, which is 250 street trees. We've staked kind of the first geographic setting of 50. And they'll probably start being planted later this week or early next week. We'll just continue. We stake them, we pick the trees, and then we have a contractor that plants those and stakes those out for us. That'll probably go on, probably potentially through the end of January. We'll see how fast it goes. At a response from our dog group you talked about, we're putting, this is not necessarily what they want specifically, but we're putting some more speed signs down at Marius Young Park, 15 miles per hour, the entrance way in, past the parking lot, and make sure that we have new bright signs as people drive the loop.
Yeah, so that signs in.
Our staff is winterizing, close those restrooms that are necessary through the winter months. There's about 6 of them that we do that with. With our public works department, and we haven't talked about this much, but we purchased a piece of property off of Salamo Road between kind of Salamo as you go down. If you take a left where there's no road, we purchased a piece of property there for a public works and parks maintenance facility. And we have.
Looking for that for a long time.
We have. It's still a ways away, but we took the first step and we are getting ready to, well, we interviewed and selected a design firm to take us through the programmatic design of what's this going to be and what do we need. So that'll go in front of council hopefully in January. And that's just kind of step one. We're ways out, but we're excited to kind of someday get out of Norfolk, you know, in the residential area, which is not been adequate for a number of years.
So would the whole facility move out of that area?
Yeah, we would vacate the Norfolk property, which is, you want a tour of chaos. We can walk.
Well, yeah, I'm not too far from that. I remember laying in bed one morning and hearing this. And I'm like,
everybody's waking up.
Well, it's like, that's awful early. And then I looked up the window, it was snowing. And it was a snow guy.
Snow guy, yeah.
So Friends of McLean House, Friends of McLean Park and House, they are finalizing their dissolution of their organization. You know, we came to an agreement that, you know, all of their property and monetary assets will come to the city. They will probably be at council, not as a formal thing, but next week. little presentation. They kind of want to do that and present, let the city know that they're going to give us a check, I think, for roughly about $60,000.
Wow.
And a 6-page Excel file of property that they are giving the city, which, you know, includes basically everything in the house. Everything that they use to put on their events, china, everything, the tables, chairs.
Chairs, yep.
The whole thing. So we are notified the Bolton Neighborhood Association just to let them know that, hey, this is happening. We're taking over management as a city, management operations after the long partnership. We don't have a business plan, but we just want to let you know if you have any questions, let us know. Today we mailed out, they'll probably go out tomorrow, 19 neighbors who are very close to the McLean House, got a similar letter, just to let them know that the management operations is changing. We don't have a formal plan, but we want them to have a contact call, our department, you know, if there are questions or concerns, and we'll, you know, come up with a business plan, you know, as we move forward that meets the needs of the organization and the neighbors for true use. So we kind of started that internally, these little discussions. Our staff, some of them who had never been on the third floor, you know, took a tour of the facility and kind of the basement and kind of, you know, so they kind of understand what it looks like. As far as projects, the non-motorized boating project, I'm still working very heavily with Oregon State Marine Board at Willamette and KPFF. You know, we are working very hard to come up with a plan for that water access that is not just permittable, but makes it truly accessible to those with disabilities. So we're kind of going through some different designs and what that's going to look like.
That's great.
To actually get people down there who have true mobility issues. Yep. So I have a meeting tomorrow to look at some more plans. Ongoing conversations with the Waterfront Trail. Our city manager did have an opportunity to speak with Willamette Paper Company. And right now, those conversations are kind of being put on hold. The paper company is working diligently with us and our planning department on historic City Hall and coming to an agreement on that project. We don't own any of the land around historic City Hall, and they're working on an agreement for parking and you know, with attorneys and how do we meet city code that meet the requirements of the paper mill and they have the capability to kind of give us as a city one project at a time. So we're going to try and get that put to bed and then we'll hopefully start having conversations about the trail going forward. Robinwood Station, which is used for somewhat recreational purposes, as you know, by friends of Robinwood Station, is nearing completion. We had an almost final walkthrough today. You know, there's still some punch list items they're fixing, but friends of Robinwood Station has agreed to the lease agreement. I haven't seen it signed back. As soon as it comes signed back, probably in January, I'm guessing it'll go to city council by resolution and the city will manage, will be authorized to sign that, and they will lease that facility from the city. So it's kind of just something I've been spending time on that isn't necessarily Parks and Rec, but falls into my pocket of
and all things, the duties that it's signed.
Other than that, if you have questions or anything, we'd love to hear them and keep you informed on anything else that might be happening.
Good job. Yeah. Thank you. May I add something to our goals for city council? Ensure budgeting, adequate staffing and recruitment for Parks and Rec.
Oh,
yes.
Second that.
I still think that we are seriously understaffed given the resources the city has.
Well, especially now we're playing those. Well, you know, with the ODOT construction, that kind of puts a little bit of a breathing room for you guys on that, because nobody's going to want to put their wedding there in this next couple of years. So, yeah.
Maybe longer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come up with some ideas to utilize the facility, but it probably won't be weddings. I have my wedding.
Yeah.
No, that'd just be, yeah.
Okay.
A little noise.
Do we have any items of interest or feedback from city council that we're aware of, other than tonight's report?
We don't, no.
Okay. Then our next meeting is January 12th. At that time, we'll be focused on our kind of schedule for the year and our plan. I know that John and Julie are
term.
Thank you. Ends and new terms begin. I don't know what your plans are for that.
Well, I didn't re-up simply because I wasn't 100% sure if my husband and I were talking about moving next year. And I didn't want to just, you know, up in July say, see you guys, and that would be rude. So there we are talking about relocating. So I didn't want to re-up just because of that. But if we don't, maybe I can come back following you.
Well, Julie, we'd love having you there, especially your strong voice for with disabilities. That's been such an important voice here this year. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hoping to continue that, actually doing some stuff with CCC, now doing the unified program, taking it up to at least the college level, hopefully beyond. So that's not going to stop for me, but CCC is a place that's been very willing to be open about that. So that's exciting.
Yeah, thank you. Well, your voice has really resonated with me.
Oh, I appreciate that.
That was very kind. Thank you.
Thank you.
John, are you reacting?
I did.
Oh, good.
I assumed they'd already done their stuff.
Okay. So, well, seeing you.
Maybe they didn't interview you, they know you, I don't know.
I never got an interview, I'm pretty sure, to get on it this year.
I don't know. I'm sure that's what Cassie has told me, but.
Different councils do different things.
That is true. That is true.
And thank everybody for a good year this year.
Good job.
Yes, been I think a really positive year, and staff, you guys are awesome.
Yes.
Well, thank you, everybody, for all your work this year, and everybody have a fabulous holiday season.
Yes.
Yes.
2023.
See you in 2023.
You know, knock on wood, no big ice storms this year.
Oh, bless.
Let's not have this again. Okay. All right, and I think. Oh, sorry,
where we adjourned.
And so I, with that, I'll adjourn the meeting, so I make sure we get that.
Hi, Chris and Patty. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.